you pay taxes. How come that robot they hired doesn't? I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. First, there's news today that U.S. companies gorging on cheap loans could be vulnerable now that rates are going up. The International Monetary Fund today said the ability of U.S. companies to pay back all this debt is at its lowest level since the 2008 financial crisis. This is part of the IMF's twice-a-year Global Stability Report. And this afternoon, the U.S. Federal Reserve will report on the health of the economy in each of its 12 regions, a report blandly called the Beige Book. Watching that will be Susan Schmidt, Senior Portfolio Manager at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas.
What's really important now is to see what the health is of the underlying economy. We're very early on in the earnings season. So as you've heard companies come out and start to report how their businesses are doing, that's a focal point for the market, regardless of the international noise going on, whether it's in Europe, the Middle East, or in Asia. And so as we get more confusion, whether it's the geopolitical situation or within the Trump administration and their initiatives and how likely they are to push them through Congress, the whole story is going to come back to how's the U.S. economy doing? What are business prospects going forward? So the Beige Book is going to be some insight into that.
New York City employers will no longer be allowed to ask job candidates about their current or past pay levels in an effort to battle wage discrimination. Mayor Bill de Blasio is signing that law today. Marketplace's Annie Baxter has more.
In just about every occupation, men are paid more than women, according to Elise Gould, senior economist with the Economic Policy Institute.
If you control for amount of experience, you still see that there is a gap.
And if a woman or minority feels underpaid in one job, they don't want the next employer to base their new pay on their past. That's the idea driving initiatives like the one in New York City.
That might lessen some of the pay disparities that existed historically for that person.
Similar bans are in place in Massachusetts and Philadelphia and are under consideration elsewhere, including Washington State. Mike Droke is a partner with the law firm Dorsey & Whitney in Seattle. He says salary history inquiries may dampen an applicant's wage potential, but they allow employers to gauge the going rate for workers without conducting costly salary surveys.
They want to know that they're not overpaying for a particular position.
Still, he expects an increase in state and local regulations on this front in coming years. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
By some estimates, nearly half the jobs in America could be at risk to artificial intelligence or automation. As part of our robot-proof jobs coverage this month, we're now looking at longer-term policy options to help humans come out ahead. We've covered the idea about writing checks to people, a universal basic income. Today, what if we had a robot tax? None other than Bill Gates brought it up recently while speaking to the publication Quartz.
Right now, if a human worker does $50,000 worth of work in a factory, that income is taxed. If a robot comes in to do the same thing, you'd think that we'd tax the robot at a similar level.
Quartz put the music in there, by the way. Bill Gates' people sometimes are willing to get the great man on the phone when I call, but not this time. You know who did take my call? Another high-powered personage, but one who doesn't like this idea of a robot tax one bit.
Why would one single out, among possible technologies, robots?
Harvard economist and former U.S. Treasury Secretary Larry Summers.
The practical level, why robots? Word processing programs displace secretaries. Dishwashers, the automated kind, displace dishwashers, the human kind. Electricity means many fewer people in jobs carrying things from one place to another.
Summers also has a philosophical and what he called an ultimately more important issue with taxing robots to offset their social cost.
Should it be the objective of policy to encourage more rapid technological improvement, or should it be the objective of policy to retard technological improvement? And it's always seemed to me that enlarging the pie as much as possible and then figuring out a set of policies that are directed at making sure that that pie is allocated in a fair way is a much better strategy than seeking for some other reason to slow the growth. I think the best course is not to be an ostrich and pretend we can ignore disruption, and too many people do that. I was shocked and appalled when the Treasury Secretary said that artificial intelligence destroying jobs wasn't on the radar screen of the administration because it was 50 to 100 years off.
Yes, Secretary Mnuchin was asked about this a couple weeks ago at an event in D.C.
I thought that was an extraordinary and clueless statement. But having said that, I don't think simply trying to resist or stop technology is a viable strategy. And by the way, I don't think it would be a viable strategy if it was adaptable on a global basis, but it's an even less viable strategy for a single country in international competition.
Former U.S. Treasury Secretary Larry Summers. We have our Robot Proof Jobs special series in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed if you're interested. Also, I'm doing a Facebook Live with Business Insider, 2 o'clock Eastern Time, 11 o'clock Pacific, if you'd like to look in. Marketplace.org, mentioned on air tab, has all the info. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.